Okay. It's a tainus today. It's before Purim, so I thought we would shift gears a little bit and do a Nyana Diyoma. Typically, you know, the way they learn a sugya is to really go through, as Kedarkenu, to go through a Gemara, go through the Rishonim. So, obviously, disclaimer, this is not really a substitute for the kind of learning that, you know, we should try to put our greatest emphasis on. At the same time, it's good to get exposure to Inyanim, especially if they're Inyan Dioma, get a sense of what's been said about it, get a little familiar with some Makoros, some Gemaras, some Shitas, especially as it plays out in Halacha. So the topic is Mishloach Manos, and we all know the source for the mitzvah is the Pasuk in Megillas Esther. We'll go through the packet as much as we could to get a feel for the Inyan. So the Pasuk stresses that there was a Takana made. So there's a mitzvah, Midibri Kabbalah, from the Megillas Esther, as part of the Takana of Purim, was a mitzvah called Mishloach Manos. The Sugya in Gemara Megillah talks about the halachos. It's only a couple of lines in the Gemara. All that there is written in Shulchan Aruch and everything else is all coming from that short Gemara. So the Gemara gives a couple of halachos related to Mishloach Manos. The Gemara points out, first of all, the distinction between Mishloach Manos and Matanos Ravyonim, the different Shiurim. Tani Rav Yosef, this is Gemara Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishloach Manos Ishkavei Ehu Shtei Manos Lishachad. So the din is two portions. We have to define all these things. Exactly what is meant by portions. A lot of things that are beginning before you begin to run through the Makoros. So there are a lot of questions about how to define the specific terms, manos, li'ishachad, ish l're'ehu. On the other hand, matanos le'avyonim, shtei matanos l'shnei b'nei adam. And pashtus is that we assume these are two distinct chiyuvim. Mishloach manos is one mitzvah, and that's a mitzvah to whoever, ish l're'ehu. And as Gemara says, shtei manos li'ishachad. And there's a separate mitzvah, matanos le'avyonim, and that's halach of kesef. And that is a separate and distinct mitzvah. There are some Rishonim that have mashmos. Here in the Ran even, you see it on the page. The Kishiltis and Pashas Vayakel, they see, and there's a Ritva that way, that seem to merge the mitzvahs together. That in some way, Matanos Levyonim is an aspect of Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos is Bein Lo'ashir, Bein Lo'ani. Matanos Levyonim is in a certain way a derivative of the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Matanos Levyonim, Mishloach is, you can almost say it's going on both. Mishloach Manos Ishrei Eyu and Mishloach Matanos Levyonim. So that really, the mitzvahs are not distinct. From the Rambam, you see definitely not that way. You see soon the Lashon Rambam more carefully about Mishloach Manos, but the Rambam talks about that in connection to the Suda, and then the Rambam says a separate halacha, V'chayiv v'chal b'aniyim b'yom ha'purim. Clearly, it's a separate mitzvah. That's no shaykhus to Mishloach Manos. That's what we usually assume. So we're going to talk about Mishloach Manos. A couple of interesting things appear in the Gemara in regard to this mitzvah. First, the Gemara brings a story. Rav Yehuda Nesiya, Shadar Rav Oshia, Atma de Igotilta, V'gava de Chamra. So he had a nice piece of meat and a jug of wine. So what was his answer? The recipient, Rav Oshia, said, Shalach Lei, Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu. Question here in the Girsa, Mishloach Manos Ishkarei Ehu, and some are Goris Matanos Levyonim, and some take this out. Let's just leave it, Mishloach Manos. So what is he saying? He says, you have in fact fulfilled Mishloach Manos Ishkarei Ehu. What is the point here? Again, there's other Girsos too, just we'll work with the Girsa we have in front of us. What could be the possible Chiddush here, just reading the Gemara? Rav Oshia validates what Rav Yudin Sida sent. You were Yotzei. Why would he not be Yotzei? So there are a lot of pshatim. One of the pshatim that is mentioned is that he sent him meat, he sent him wine. Maybe manos is only maichel, not mashke. So the chiddush was that you, in fact, and we usually assume this way, although again, look at the Rambam, you don't see in the Rambam that you could be yotze with mashke. Mishnah Berurah brings a halacha that you are. That's how many hold. So that you can send a chveis, a pineapple and a bottle of wine. Or whatever, you know, hamatash and a bottle of wine, grape juice, so that's good. That's two things, manos. That could be what the Gemara is actually saying. Okay, that's one pshat. In any event, there are other girsos, other things. Meanwhile, the Gemara is another story. Rabbi Shadalei Mari Bar Mar Biyad Abaye Malataska De Kashva Umali Kasad Kim Chadav Shuna Amali Abaye Hashta Amar Mari Ichakua Malka Levi Dikula B'Tavare Lunachis Hadashadalei. So he wasn't happy with what he sent. Hadashadalei Iu Umali Taksa Zangdila Umali Kasad B'Palta Aricha. Anyway, leave this. I want to go to another interesting story further down. Abaye bar Avin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, machlefisu desayu lehadadi. So what exactly does this mean? A couple of pshatim here. So it seems to be connected to Mishloach Manos. And it says that their custom was that they used to swap meals. Now, swap meals can mean any number of things. So Rashi says an interesting chidush. Rashi learns what it means is, so it means that one year one of them ate his meal, his suda, with his friend. The other year was the other one's turn to host. So what does that mean? Comes out, what is Gemara trying to say? Chidush. Is it just Stam telling you an inyan? It's a nice, it could be. You could say like that in Rashi. It's an inyan of people being sameach with each other. So you should get involved, have a farbrengen, and that's it. It's just simply a comment, an observation, and a davar tov. From Rashi, one could have perhaps learned that way. But the way that the mefarshim seem to take even Rashi is that this is a halacha that you can be yodsei, your chiyuv with this. Now, what chiyuv? So we're talking here about mishloach manos. You can be yodsei mishloach manos. But the obvious question is, so what is the chidush? The chidush is that even though I didn't actually send you food, I invited you to come join me for my suda, so you could say I'm yotze mishloach manos. But that's good for the one who's hosting. But the guy that came, the one who came, he's just eating. So how does he yotze mishloach manos? Next year he was hosting, so he was yotze the next year. Now the Ran has another pshat. The Ran and other Rishonim say, not that way Rashi learns that it was one year and the other year. It means like this. They didn't have enough food in their cupboards to be able to send Mishloach Manos and still have enough for themselves to eat. So what did they do? They swapped meals. Lo yeecha meam kidei sheyuchal l'shloach chaver l'hashil atzma ufichach hayushochen kolechad sudasim zel azeh kidei leachal sudas purim ukaim mitzvah Mishloach Manos. So according to this pshat, the chidush is something else. Each one was Mekayim Mishloach Manos because each one fed the other one, gave the other one food. But the Chiddush is, in the end of the day, there was no net gain on each person's menu. I mean, I don't know, could be one person had more food than the other, but it doesn't say that, and then, you know, they wouldn't have necessarily the Chiddush lies in the fact that each one, let's say, you know, had enough for themselves, but then they wouldn't be Mekayim Mishloach Manos if they just had that, because they have to eat it for themselves. So the answer is, he sent his meal to the other one, and the other one sent his meal to him, and each one ended up eating more or less what they would have had for themselves, or the equivalent of that, but at the same time, they were mekayem mishloach manos too. That's a chidush, because again, there was no net gain in terms of the what anyone had on their menu. It could be, you could argue, Rashi didn't learn that pshat, because Rashi could hold that that's not good enough for mishloach manos. I had a mishloach manos in Rashi. So again, one could have said Rashi's not telling you halacha mishloach manos. Rashi's telling you that this is the practice of these amoraim, because it's an inyan of being mesameach with each other. So, but there's a tremendous chiddush of the Bach. This is brought in the in the Tur Taf Reish Sadi Hey, that at the end of the Torah right, Sarach l'shloach manos ish l're'eh u'pachos shnei manos l'adam echad v'mhechif sudaso v'shel chavero yatsa. So the Beis Yosef brings Rashi's pshat, that they went, one year one went to the one, and the other year that one went to the other one. He quotes the Ran's pshat, and he quotes Rashi. After quoting Rashi, the Beis Yosef asks, everyone see the Beis Yosef here on page number 2, V'kash shali al dvarav. In other words, where that hand is on the margin. The kashli al dvarav. The imkain loyim mekayim mishloach manasich lerei eyu. V'im tomer shayu shochem manasich lerei eyu. Imkain mayasalash meinan. Now, what exactly is he asking? They were not mekayim mishloach manos. Is this exactly my kasha? No, my kasha was there's already a chidush that the one who's giving the other one food by him is also mishloach manos. But what about the one that's eating? And it's only next year that he's holds. But there's a chidush in the fact that I don't have to send you mishloach manos. You can come join my meal, and that's my kiyum as well. But the Beis Yosef is seemingly asking that. I understand. Where's Mishloach Manos here? You didn't send the package. He's coming to you during your Suda. So apparently that was what the Beis Yosef was assuming. And Mishloach Manos means you have to send to the person where he is, not to have him come to you. Whereas according to the Ran, it's good. Because according to the Ran, you send a delivery. What's your delivery? You send your Suda to him. He got it. You Mekai Mishloach Manos. And he sent back his Suda. And this was a good age, so because they didn't have enough for themselves and to send. So therefore, the chidush is, even though there was no, as we said, there's no net gain on each person's menu, on their plate, but there's mishloach manos. But there was a shiluach. But in Rashi, he's asking there's no mishloach manos. So not the Darkei Moshe says, that doesn't bother me so much. Because, first of all, even if you tell me mishloach, who says mishloach means you have to send to the person? Any day makasha lamar, the Darkei Moshe is the Ramah. The afis viru the mishloach manos is dafk or boy shiluach. Lochein am ochel umchaveru eno yotze. Mikol mokum ein zekusha. The after the Rashi viru the mishloach lav dafka. And who din am ochel umchaveru? The maishna am ochel imo beveso or sheshocha elav. Now you can send your meal to them, or you can have the person come to you and join in the meal. But that's mishloach manos. I gave the person food. I fed the person. Oh, the ikashale, maybe this is what the Beis Yosef is bothered by. So the Beis Yosef doesn't clarify his question. He says, Elamai, they want to become shkoch manos, and if they did send manos, in Mayasa Lashmina, the ikashale, im echad hayochum chaveir b'shanazum, ken asheni lo yim b'kayim shkoch manos b'osa purim, ken asheni b'purim haba. Oh, so maybe that's the Beis Yosef's kasha. That how does the guy who's eating, the guest, in Mekayim his mitzvah? Im kein my kamer b'sov dvarav, im kein my yasel hashmi'ina, desagi hashmi'ina, tshuechad yotz mesha chaveru achalimba. V'chein en kedai yitchus tevi rashi b'koch kush yasel. So he says, I don't get the Beis Yosef's kash. If he's asking that mishloach manos, you have to send it. So he could hold that way. Rashi holds differently. What's the difference? As long as he fed it. And if the kasha was, how would the guest be mekayim shloach manos? Then what does he say at the end? Mayasal Hashemi inan. Anyway, but l'maisa, we have to deal with both these questions in Rashi. Obviously, there are two kudas here for in Rashi. In the Ran, there was a mishloach. So I understand that you have that, but the chiddush is that there was no net gain in terms of the food. In Rashi, if you owed it, that each one was yotzei mishloach manos, again, you could say Rashi stop saying a din, that this is what used to happen, not really a chidush and din, but it's an inyan in terms of mishpacha, mishpacha, people getting together, friends getting together. But if you weren't aware that Rashi is saying that the umakayim mishloach manos, then you have two issues to consider. Where's the mishloach manos? He's coming to dine with me. And number two, how is he makayim mishloach manos? Because it's one year and then the other year. Says the Bach a tremendous chidush. The Bach says, "Umashma shirotzer loma shlo yishochin zelaze, upshita she'ein shana shniya moel lahotzi yischaver udeichovas mishloach manos mishana sha'aver." You can't retroactively be yotze. You know, b'shaito this Purim you are mekayim mishloach manos, but it's pending. You know, igoy milso mafreya, right? Mafreya, who goes there? A year from now, you know, I will host him, and it turns out there was omen for that all along. So therefore, this Purim I was mekayim mishloach manos because when I gave you the meal next year, so that's already mafreya. What's pshat? How could it be? How many yotze this year? I came to eat by you this year. El kachu pirish says the Bach an incredible word. Kachu apirish. The Kevan de Tanish Lachmanos who Kadesha Ye Samech Vesasim Oavav. And here we begin to get into a little bit of an understanding of the nature of the mitzvah, that the pshat in the mitzvah, the svar of the mitzvah. What exactly is the reason for the mitzvah? Now, there could be a lot of different reasons, and there's two very classic reasons that we'll soon begin to explore and have gemilas between them. But right now, for the purpose of understanding Rashi, the Bach just takes for granted the following idea. The reason for Mishloach Manos is in order that you should rejoice with friends. Ulahashkin beneim ava ve'achva ve'reus. So he's basically going along the lines of what is attributed to be the reason given by Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, who authored L'Chadodi and wrote a sefer, Manos Halevi, which he gave as Mishloach Manos to his father-in-law. Whether he gave other food as well, other things as well with food is another question. But meanwhile, he writes in the reason in the Megillah is because it has to be an affirmation of Achdus, Keneged Haman, and so on. But either way, the Bach, without quoting that, is explaining that the point of Mishloach Manos is to be rejoicing with your friends and to create a sense of camaraderie, Ava V'Achva V'Reyus. So therefore, an incredible word, he says, Im Kein, Im Yisod Echad Im Chaveiro, if I will join with you together for the Suda, V'Re'ehu, so they have there's a joint endeavor here, that they are now, they have this spirit of friendship in the course, over the course, over the meal. So what does it mean? His lesson is, they are therefore patur from the whole formality of chiyuv mishloach manos. I mean, patur can circumvent the whole mitzvah. Means you've achieved everything you need to achieve Mishloach Manos in what's going on here. Let's say Reuven went to Shimon this Purim and Reuven went to Shimon next Purim. It's not because Shimon was the host a year later that's what remedies the year before, that he was Mekayim the year before. Let's say Kiseder, every year it was always the same host and the same guest. And you joined together with him every year for the Suda. So the answer is Yotzim Shneim Dechovasan. So why does it say Machlefi Sudasayu? 1 year one ate one year he went to the other one. The answer is that was the way they did it. Ha'emes Omesh Ha'im Machlefim B'Shana Shnei V'Ikro Asel Hashmein An Haydina. What is Haydina? The Besoid Eitzel Re'eu Pturin Shnei Mechim Mishloach Manos. And therefore we don't have to assume that they were poor, like the Ran said. Elafim Bashirim Kenedin Elo Shehem Ha'yovim Zeze B'Yeser Os. In other words, because the love was so great between these two Amorayim, v'hiskimu shetov yafo lehem l'sheves achim yachad b'sudas purim b'simcha v'tuv rei mishta kivikas Hashem shenasam kenir lidas Rashi mekubo misha pirushim shenever bo. You can imagine that a lot of pshatim in Rashi. I think this is the best pshat of all. Okay, but you have to know how to define it. Go ahead.
Is he saying that they're filling the mitzvah with it? Or
right.
So they don't have
there was one lashon in the middle that says p'turim mi mitzvahs. You could have said this is the optimum kiyum. That lashon is a little misleading. It says p'turim. What does it mean? You can suddenly explain time of the kra, and therefore this is all, you know, it's all about being happy and being friends. Like, you know, Torah Matei Aleha, you can start, you know, changing all kinds of mitzvahs and saying this is the whole point. It's hard to imagine that you suddenly can make a p'tur. Even though he says that lashon p'turim, I think what he really would mean is the Bach. That this becomes itself a fulfillment, as opposed to you circumvented it. The whole point is to create the achva. So this is like the spitz, as you say. This is the ultimate way to create that sense of achva. They're eating together with such friendship that you don't need to actually do it in the specific way of that mishloach manos. This is what it's all about. Yes.
Do we say anywhere in the Pasuk or the Gemara that has to be done by every person every year? It just says like this month has to be a month.
No, but there's a mitzvah on Purim called Mishloach Manos. So each year, yeah, b'chol shana b'shana, that was the mitzvah. Sure, that's the halacha. Now, the Bach is a wonderful idea and it's a wonderful thing to say over, but l'maisa Rashi's pshat doesn't make it to the Shulchan Aruch. So we have to mekayim Mishloach Manos kipshuto as well. What does make it to the Shulchan Aruch is the Ran's pshat. So, I mean, as much as the Bach's pshat could be correct pshat in Rashi, again, you know, it's hard to know. There are other pshatim in Rashi. And the idea is a beautiful one, but halacha, though, we don't assume that just because, you know, you're joining me for the Suda, so therefore you don't have to do Mashiach Manas. But what we begin to see already in the Bach is the one of the very often quoted time and reasons for Mashiach Manas. There are really, be'ikr, two reasons that are mentioned in Mashiach Manas. Now, this comes up in a Truma Sadeshin, and one of the reasons is attributed to him. And then there's the reason that we just mentioned along the lines of the Bach, which is attributed to Shlomo Alkavitz. So let's take a look at the two reasons, and then what seems to be all kinds of nafkaminas that Achronim like to bring out between these two reasons. This is one of the you know, easy. If you have a quick shear, you have to say somewhere, sometime. You know, it's a very nice thing. Except that the more rigorous you are, the more you realize that half of these nafkaminas may not really be nafkaminas. But before people think about it, so good, you know, two reasons, plug it in, okay, 25 nafka minutes. But Lamai said that's what typically is done here. Okay, anyway, the Trumas Hadeshin has a question. By the way, just to note, Trumas Hadeshin is one of the Rishonim, of course, many of his sakim are found in the Ramah. These questions were not really asked by individuals. He wrote the questions in order to give the answer. There are tshuvas where there was a shoel and he answered. Trumas Hadeshin, these are all questions that he created in order to, you know, to speak about an inyan. Could be that Zomid al Perek in one way or another, but it wasn't a particular shoel. You never find that. She'ela. B'nei Adam ha'shochim l'chavereyem b'purim. Someone had a question. No. Shochim l'chavereyem b'purim chalukim sadinim v'kai gav ne'yotzim v'yem shloch manos alo. So the question was, if you send someone not food, you send clothing, can you fulfill the shloach manos? It says in the Gemara, shloach manos. Now in the Gemara, the story that Gemara gave, the various stories, but all of them were food. So again, so you could be medayik from the Gemara already, and that's what he's, you know, it could be from there and also from Machlok Yisudusayu. But then again, it doesn't say in the Megillah food, it says manos. Manos could mean food. Where else do you find in Tanakh sending manos besides Megillas Esther, of course? Where? Think Rosh Hashanah, actually. What? Ah, manach asapoyim, very good. Yeah, that's by Chana in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. That's food. What? It says manos over there? Chamesh yodos. It says, what does it say in the pasuk there? Chalfos malos, Uvinan sent Shosh Meska Chamesh Chalifos malos, clothing. He gave him clothing. Where does it say manos over there? And earlier, when they were dining with Yosef, it says, "Vater masas bin yamin, masas kumanov." It says manos. But you have it in Sefer Nechemya. Is it Ezra and Nechemya? I forget which it is, and it's the pasuk regarding Rosh Hashanah. That they were crying there that Rosh Hashanah because their level was very low, spiritual level was very low as they were returning to Eretz Yisrael, and many were intermarried, and it was a public Kriyas HaTorah described over there by Ezra, and everyone was hearing Ezra, and they began to cry, and it happened to be Rosh Hashanah, and he told them not to be afraid, not to be sad, and he says, among other things, Shulchu manos le'ein nachum lo, send manos to those who don't have ready made. So there are those who say that you see from here that there was a custom generally to send on Yom Tovim in general to send gifts. Now there typically is gifts of food, and then you have Bishnais and Beya that speak about sending gifts also. So it could be the idea of Mishloach Manos was not invented by Mordechai VeEsther as a Takana Purim. They adapted a certain thing that was generally already in vogue. You see already from the fact that it was customary to send manos in the Pasuk in Ezra. But there is typically food. Anyway, the Trumas Hadeshin raises a question. What about if you send clothing and the like? So it says, Tshuva yira de'ein yotzim behem. But why not? He tells you why not. Nira tam de mishloach manos hu kidei she'echol echa dei b'safek l'kayim asuda kedina. He tells you what the reason of mishloach manos is all about. It's in order to enable everybody to be mekayim and fulfill their sudas purim. As you can see from the Gemara that we just read, that Abaye bar Avin, Rav China bar Avin, It may have actually been brothers too. It occurred to me right now, actually, not just that they were friends, but they were brothers. Could be either that, or they had the fathers had the same name. So the point is that the inyan of Mishloach Manos is for the Suda, but he says, in order to make sure everyone has what they need. Now, what about if you already have what you need? So what's the point? They have already. Someone has enough food, more than enough for the Suda. So you have to assume it means like this, and some Sofer develops it further. By requiring everybody to send food to everybody else, then the person who taka doesn't have food for this one is going to get. And therefore, it's like, for example, we find shelo levayishes misha enlo. So a lot of examples that you find that if there are individuals who really need, but not to embarrass that only those people are going to get and not the others, therefore everyone, and you have to imagine that ki'ilu, you were the person who didn't have. And therefore the takana was set up that I should, quote unquote, provide you with your needs for your suda. That's the yisod of the Truma Sadesha. Manos, he says, by definition, we give examples maybe, that it means food. So therefore you see from the Rambam also, they're talking about the mitzvah is food. He had the Rambam to support himself, this shita with. The Rambam only mentioned food, v'nir d'shtia b'chal achila. So the very Truma Sadeshin is the first one to say, he doesn't quote the Gemara that we mentioned before, but that's the chiddush of the Gemara in the story, but shtia b'chal achila as well, matanus rav yonim kasav mos, the Rambam himself, and next halacha mentions money by matanus rav yonim. Or food. So we have one reason of the Truma Sadeshin. Mishloach Manos is about enabling the other to fulfill the Suda. Now, it's interesting, he quotes the Rambam. If you want to medayik in the Rambam, it could be that there's a really interesting shinoi between the Truma Sadeshin and the Rambam, although the Rambam connects it to the Suda, and the Truma Sadeshin is also connecting the mitzvah to the Suda, but it's really a little bit of a different perspective. What's the pshat? Mishloach Manos is to, according to the Midrash, is to enable the recipient to have tzarchei suda. So does that mean that Mishloach Manos is a kiyum in Sudas Purim? Or it's an independent chiyuv, but it's to enable, to facilitate the recipient's being mekai in Sudas Purim. So it obviously is an outgrowth of the fact that there's a mitzvah in Sudas Purim, but this is per se not a kiyum in Sudas Purim. Correct? In Truma Sadesh. However, look at the Lashon HaRambam that we have here. Ketzad chova suda zu. What is the obligation of this suda, of Sudas Purim? So Ram tells you should have meat, you should prepare a nice meal, not just one course of meat, but you should have a whole nice meal. Kefiya shatim sayado, according to what you can afford. And you should have yayin, that's yishtakev yidim eshikrus, that's the inyarada lo yada, lefsume. V'chein chayev adam l'shroach shtei manas shabasa, shnei minei tafshu, shnei minei ochen l'chavero. Shnei shroach manasir re'eyo. Now, from the fact that the Rambam says v'chein chayiv adam in the same halacha that the heading of the halacha is ketzad chova suda zu, many are medayik that the Rambam is first of all you see right away the Rambam is connecting Mishloach Manos with Sudas Purim because it's only in the next halacha that he talks about Matanos Levyon, but that in a way is similar to the Truma Sadeshin. But notice there's a critical difference. The Rambam sees the mitzvah Sudas Purim as having another aspect to it, that part of the kiyum of Sudas Purim is that you send from food that you have to someone else. It's included in Chovas Suda Zun. So v'chein chayev adam. Says you send from your suda to someone else. Now the Ram does quote the case of machlif afterwards. And he says in ein lo. But it's mashma from the Rambam that the din of machlif is that l'chatchila or it's only b'di'evit. It was l'chatchila. Can I swap sudas with somebody? According to the Rambam, what is it mashma? No, the imenlo. Now the way the Tur quoted the din of machlif Again, the imhech peshel chaver yatsa. No, that's also good. No, it doesn't say the main lo. Bitzarach l'shulach melech yishurei eyo. Imhechif peshel chaver yatsa. Why would you want to be machlif? The Ram gave the case because you're poor. But the Torah doesn't have this introduction like the Rambam does. The im ein lo machlif. Imhechif yatsa. It's good. It's good, just as good. But why does the Rambam make it seem that it's only if you don't have? Could be because the Rambam learns that the Iker Inyan of Mishloach Menah says, I'm giving from my Suda to you. Not I'm giving the Suda. I have my Suda and something from my Suda I send to you. I have X number of foods on my menu and the course number one, the appetizers, so I have and that appetizer I also send to my Mishloach Menah, to others, to my friend. But if I send the whole Suda, that's not the same as saying from the Suda. So that's what's only an angle, then you can also fulfill it that way. Because at the end of the day, I'm a Kai my Suda. I ate a Suda and I sent from what I had. It's also good. But either way, the Rambam is saying that it's part of the Chova Suda. And I think from the Trumas Hadeshin, one could be Medaik not that way. It's not the Chovas HaSuda. It's to facilitate, to enable the Suda. But one thing I think should also be maybe a little bit clear, and this again, there are those who are more makbid on this than others. Typically today, Mishloach Manos has become an exercise in junk food, right? Shmansis, we used to call it when I was younger. Tchatchkes, you know, food tchatchkes, you know, like candy and jelly beans and all the terrible stuff that's artificial dye and everything else. It's poison, really. Somehow or other, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. But, basically, it's not substantial food. And, no, but according to the reason that we're going with now, maybe there's a saving grace. There's another reason soon we'll get to. But according to Bain the Rambam, Bain Trumas Hadeshin have in common, is that we're talking about, now, if this is what you pretty much eat every day for your Suda and for your Purim Suda as well, no mela, maybe that's for you. That's your diet. That's your menu. That's what you eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Danish, hamantash, and whatever. Okay, maybe that's a little better. But jelly beans, I don't know. That's your lunch. That's your dinner.
Dessert.
But, yeah, dessert. Okay, so maybe. But really, the way you look at the Trumas Hadeshin and the Rambam, the Rambam says, give the example, manos. What did the Rambam have in mind? Let's put ourselves in the Rambam's words. Shtei manos shel basar, shnei minei tavshil, kugel mela. Kugel is a tavshil, a dish, maybe a cake. Okay, hametash, good. Shnei minei ochlin lachaveiro. And especially because he's connecting it to the Suda. And for the Trumas Hadeshin, you want to enable the person to have a Suda, so you should really give them a piece of fish, a piece of meat, or a chves, or a rice, or a dish, or whatever. That's really what it sounds like. We try to do that. For the kids it's different. The kids give their friends what the kids want. We try to be able to find, to make something that's not too difficult, not too time consuming, but at least, take some effort to. Now, the Yo's going to have a question. What if the Suda is Pleshix and you want to send Milchix?
No, that's my question.
It's a good question, right? Okay, yeah.
My question was, what would provide Bachim and Yeshiva that don't have access to stoves and ovens?
Inachinami. I'm not saying. So one day you'll have your own house and you'll remember this. And then. Not too good. There is another Mahalach in Shloach Manos. Yeah, the Manos HaLevi, and here you have, the Shlomo Kabit says, the reason for Shloach Manos is to create friendship, to create camaraderie. L'koyal kolechlim chaveru, hefich ish tzar v'oyev, loshen remiah, ha'omer anachan fuzim forad. In other words, again, a beautiful idea. Haman was accusing us of being splintered and fragmented, and we're always fighting, and we're full of, we Jews were better at multiplication and that division. Well, we're better at division than multiplication. the idea of being mefuzah meforad, and therefore the point of Mishloach Manos is ba'guda achas bi'ava bi'achva v'reyus, to counter what Haman was saying of how we're being mefuzah meforad. So therefore, if the idea is that, then really we're not talking about. So one way you could start stretching it, you could start saying, well, then who needs food? right? I mean, the whole point of Trumas Adeshin was you need food because that was the first point, because you have to facilitate the Suda. Now the idea is really to create friendship. But then again, there still might be parameters. So you're not going to say that because of that, you could gestam send anything, although there are discussions about it, because if the reason is to create friendship, so what does a person really appreciate? Maybe more than food, they might appreciate clothing, might appreciate Torah, they might appreciate a sefer. So maybe that should be Mishloach Manos. Okay, but let's even say, but still, there was a takana with parameters. So manos means food, like he says. But now already, you like jelly beans, you like jawbreakers, whatever they call them, and whatever it is, but that creates the good feeling and the goodwill. So it's not dafka about the suda, it's an independent mitzvah, not kosher to the suda, not the Rambam's formulation of being connected to the suda, not the Trumas Adeshin's formulation. It's an inyan, a separate independent mitzvah, chiyuv, that you want to create friendship and achdus on Purim. It's a yom of achdus, and therefore this is the idea, mishloach manos, send food. So we'll say it's going to be food, but send food and make the person feel good. So if you try to understand what the person likes, try to send him stuff that he'll like. But now you can start thinking of all kinds of nafkaminas. Now that we're already presenting two mahalchim, now you have to start thinking all kinds of conceivable nafkaminas. Yaakov, yeah. Okay, in other words, Dafka, look for someone that, right, you're not as friendly to create more, to be marb and more reyes, correct? Dafka, look for that, right?
In the back, though, it says that if it's someone you hate, then maybe you shouldn't.
That might be so, because it can antagonize the person. Well, you're trying to buy my love or something. Okay, so you have to, has to be too, can't be too transparent. Yeah, that's true. So you have to know. If the person has a little tine on you, but basically you have a relationship, so that would be very appropriate, 100%. But if it's something which is transparent and it's, you're not really making a genuine effort, and it's just like you could take it the wrong way. So yeah, but this is the spirit of the mitzvah. Okay, so what does it seem at first glance in defining these two approaches? The Trumas Adeshin sees it as a function of who? Of the recipient. The recipient should have Tzorchei Suda. Whereas the Shlomo Kabitz would see it as more of a function of the giver, because it creates goodwill. Because even if bottom line it didn't actually get eaten and he didn't really enjoy it for one reason or another, but he still presumably appreciates the gesture. So if there was the gesture was there, so you can begin to see now how, based on simplifying in such a way, here it's a function of the recipient, he should have for the suda. Here it's a function of the giver to create goodwill between them. So now let's go and see how many nafkaminas can we come up with between these two approaches. And one of the sources, way there in the sheet, I just point to page number 12. This is a Sefer Piskei Teshuvos. On the according to the Mishnah Berurah, they have elaboration on along the pattern after the Seder of the Mishnah Berurah, the Sefer Piskei Teshuvos. So he has a psicha, Ledine Mishloach Manos, right? See, I don't know who the Mechaber is, I don't remember. But he brings the Shulchan Aruch, Ta Chayva L'Shloach HaChaber Shtei Manos, and he says there are two main reasons for Mishloach Manos. Reason number one is the Trumas Hadeshen, everyone should have Tzorchei Sudas Purim. And the other reason is the Shlomo Malkavitz's reason, Harbas HaShalom. And he says that there are many nafkaminas between them. And he's going to start, talking about all these various nafkaminas. Someone said, I forget who said it, someone said there are 20 nafkaminas, all right? Let's see. Let's go through some of them. Yeah.
Would the Rambam say, Rambam would say more like Krishna Malkovitz, no? That it's a din in the giver. Right, because the Rambam is saying that it comes from your
Suda. The Rambam, interesting, right? The Rambam is more like, I have to send for my Suda, you're quite right. Whereas if it's for the Trumas Adeshin's angle, it's that he should get it. Yeah, it could be.
So Trumas Adeshin didn't read the Rambam that way?
Yeah. He just focused on the fact the Rambam says he's sending food. Ah. Right, we were medayik in the Rambam at this point. Right. Yeah. Yeah, okay, last paragraph. Here it is. V'akorei hanavon yizbonein v'yire od, after he mentions a couple of them, v'ke'esrim dinim hamvorem v'shulchan aruch and the Heitiv, Shari Tshuva, Mishneh Berurah, B'Siv Zeh, U'B'Dvareinu Lalon, Shelofi Echad Mi'Hatayimim, Yotzei D'Chavasa, U'Tam HaSheni En Yotzei. So let's see, how many can you come up with? 20. U'Lamaisa, always be Choshesh, to be Yotzei, according to both reasons. At least for one person that you give, it should not have, unless you can assume with two people, at least if one person, you would say one sheet and the other, so you're also good, also. Okay. Ideally, try and make sure that you don't have these nafkaminas and all be in the same direction for everyone you give it to. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Where should we go first? Okay. The Rama says, second page. Right after the Mechaber, the Rama says, when should you send it? L'shluach manos b'yom v'lo b'layla. Now, let's talk about that. You send it by day, not at night. Now, let's think at first glance, right? If the mitzvah is about creating goodwill, and it's about the sender, when should you send it?
Shouldn't matter.
What? Shouldn't matter?
In the day.
Which way would you go? Send it by day, that's the mitzvah.
Yeah.
But if it's about facilitating that he had, so you want to go the opposite way. You want to facilitate for the Suda, so send it by day as long as he has it to eat. Is that fair? Should it be totally what?
You can also say that if you did in the Suda, and I started my Suda before, during the day, but if it continues into the night.
No, we're talking
about the previous
day. Well, it could be the previous night, it could be.
Yeah, what about continuing my Suda into the night?
So you want to say a chiddush, so it's still kosher to the Suda in some way. Let's say you didn't send all the Mishloach Manos, and now the person's still eating the Suda, it's already after Tzeis HaKochavim, but you send him then, so you could still say that you'd be a Kiyum because it's part of the Suda. But his Suda is still going on. Now, his mit, it's interesting. It's not Purim, but he's Mekayim Suda's Purim. He's still Mekayim his mitzvah while he's eating the Suda. So you sent it after Purim. So besides your sending, you could say you didn't, you sent it after Purim. As in terms of being an independent mitzvah, you could say it's not on Purim you're sending it. But on the other hand, you saw to it that he had for the Suda because it was a Suda. Still his Suda's going on. It's still Shaykh to the Suda. That's if you sent it the night after. What if you sent it the night before? They'll have it the next day. So then you say you facilitate the Suda's Purim.
So why is there any less goodwill? He sends it at night.
Yeah, but then again, so the answer is ultimately you have to have parameters. Goodwill. I could send. I create goodwill right now too. Today, it's a few days before Purim. What? The goodwill, but is that the goodwill should be there during Good Day as a result of what I did. If I send a package today and they're still feeling happy on Sunday from what I sent today, so that's a key. The answer is obviously, with all of this, you still have to create standards and parameters. You know, the fact that I was mesameach him a few days before Purim and he feels that, or I gave him the mishloach manos, but the ma'aser mitzvah is still ma'aser mitzvah. You can't just suddenly erase all those formalities, because the reason is the reason, and that's all that matters. That's why I sometimes am very uncomfortable with these pat, you know, nafkaminas, you know, there it goes. I mean, here, you could say, you understand very well, no matter what the reason is, mishloach manos, that the Ramaz din is sound. First of all, if it's midina suda, it's most obvious. Because the halacha is that the suda is bayom, and not balayla. So, therefore, it goes after that. It's a nigra after the suda. And even if it's a separate mitzvah, but again, the mitzvah is to do the act of being shaleach and creating the goodwill on Purim itself. Okay, yesh ladin, you know, again, if you sent it after the meal, but during the meal, but after Purim, it was kosher to the suda, but still, maybe it's still a function of sending it as well. The Rambam, as you mentioned, is certainly a function of the sending. So for the Rambam as well, you can't just say he got it. Yeah, you sent it. It wasn't. But maybe if you sent it from your Suda, and it's still going on, but it's also good enough. You can be kind of Shulach Manos after, where the person got it, he's having his Suda too. He still knows his Suda. I don't know. You can be mafalpel in this. But anyway, this is one case.
It's also similar to the one.
What?
It's also similar to the case with the walled cities and unwalled cities.
Yeah, there are all kinds of discussions about that, right? Exactly. To send to someone for the Yom Tesvav and then Yidalit and vice versa, right? Okay, let's see another nafkamina. The Rama says further, you see, we're in the Rama already. The Im Shaleach, the next line. Im Shaleach Manos Lerei Ehu. V'hu ein erotza l'kablam. So the guy doesn't want to take it. You sent it. You made an honest effort. You sent it. Omochelo. He says, okay, forgiven. It's okay. You don't need to matriach yourself. It's okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. No, thank you. But he doesn't take it. Yotze. So there must be a yotze. Ooh, wow. What's that about? He didn't get it. The Pri Chadash is very upset with the Rambam. He argues. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chadash. Tema lezeh minayin lo. That's what he says. The Pri Chadash. Four words. Tema lezeh minayin lo. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Cholkim of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah is right, Sifkata and Chav Dalet. Yatsa v'pi chadash cholik al zeh v'chein achasam sofer b'simit kupsari vav mitama al zeh. Now what could be the pshat here? So there's a couple of things. Number one, if he's mochel, you could say that goes through the mahalach called ki'u hiskabalti. What's mechila? What does mechila mean? Mechila can mean afuchim atar talamali. You don't have to give it to me, I give it back. It's as if I got it, and it's halachically as if I got it. Now, if you're going like that, then simple enough. The Rama is saying it's as if he got it. But even that, I mean, if he had to have it for the Suda, Chumash said that he didn't have it for the Suda. But that's one way to think about it. But he says, he doesn't say necessarily Machu, just he didn't want to mekabel it. So how could the Rama say that you yotze? So the obvious thing is that you could say, well, he didn't facilitate his eating it for the Suda, but it facilitated goodwill. So according to the Manos HaLevi, so you created goodwill, so Mekayim, he didn't accept it. That's a separate cheshbon. But I sent, according to Truma Sadeshin, it's to facilitate the Suda. He didn't have it for the Suda. And not that you always have to have it for the Suda. Actually, he didn't put it on the Suda's table, but he could have had it for the Suda. After all, a lot of times he's sending it to people who have already. But you have to put yourself in your shoes as if he wouldn't have had. But if he didn't take it, it wasn't shaykh for him to have it for the Suda. So hard to imagine that you could be yotzei. What about according to the Rambam? The way we read the Rambam.
Should be good.
I would think so also. Because as long as I sent. Now it's in the Rambam, unlike the Trumas Hadeshen, where the focus is on the recipient, the Rambam says, I should send for my Suda. I sent for my Suda. Good. He didn't take it, he didn't take it. If you look on page 4, you see the Chassam Sofer works this out very nicely. Page 4, Al Divras Hapri Chadash Shepikbek Al Ramah. Shoch manos v'avol kabel kimachalo yotzei chavaso. The prichai says minayin lo zeh. So now v'neiver isi they says in the left column he isi was a base timing for mishloach manos. The Trumas Hadeshen's reason that people should have what they need for the suda, so the friend is helping him out, enabling him to have for the suda, and even if he has a lot, that's the obvious question. Become titnu kach shelo levayish mi she'ein lo. Like at the end of Tainus, that everyone went out with borrowed clothing because there are those who didn't have their own clothing. If he didn't have indeed, we have to put ourselves into the imagine that he didn't have enough for the Suda, and he would say, no, thank you. So even Yisrei, lo yimchosh, lo levayish. He says you have to create a sense of covering up for those who don't have. That's how he puts it. Ach b'seif manas alevi says the reason is habas hashom v'areyus hefach me what Haman said. Chayin tik mishol can yeshu omer can mishoch beherachi baso even though he's mochi yastich avaso, and that could be the issue here. Okay, so that's another nafkamina. What else could be nafkamina? Let's say you are anonymous. You send anonymous mishloach manos, and the guy gets it and has a wonderful contribution to his Purim Suda. So this is mentioned by the Ksav Sofer, right here on the same page on the bottom, the son of the Chassam Sofer. He also has discussion about the different reasons. And in Os Beis, Mashin is tapakta. Misha shaleach manos l're'eo ve'enam akabo yodea mishalach lo. It could happen. They forget to put the sticker on. Right? Yes.
That still creates goodwill among everyone, though.
That's correct. But your mitzvah is create goodwill between you and it's not just that if there are a lot of people giving shloach manos, so therefore everyone is yotzei, even those who never gave. I mean, there's goodwill going on at Purim, so suddenly the mitzvah goes over, everyone's mekayim the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to fulfill, right? So you have to answer this: did you create the goodwill? And you did
Yeah.
recognized.
You created goodwill because he felt good, even though he doesn't know. It doesn't have to be between you and him. It has to be, you contributed goodwill to the,
exactly.
That's what you're saying. I hear.
Also, a better example.
I hear.
Another document could be if you you hid it in his kitchen and he thought it was his.
Okay.
So there's
okay.
There's no feeling of goodwill there.
The opposite. Okay, right. Good. He has to feel he got something. From Miata, at first glance, nearly the Talia B'taima depends on the reasons. The time of the Trumas HaDeshen, that the mitzvahs Mishalach Manos, Kedei Lamalos Chisaro, Misha Einlo, Mistava de Yotze, Gam Kshe Einchaver Yodea Misha Shalachlo. Sof, call. Sof, everyone see it? Higia L'tachas HaMachaven, HaMachuvan, whatever, it reached the purpose is achieved. The Yesh Mitzvah Biyoser. That's one reason. Aval a time of Mishum, and maybe it's even more of a mitzvah because Dafka Shalol Avayish. In other words, you might feel bad knowing he took it from this person, especially if it's especially nice Shalachmanis. So just like by Tzedakah, the more anonymous, the better. As long as he gets it, the benefit, so even better. Aval a time of Mishum Chibav Shom V'Reyus. As the Russian is Ish Garei Eyu. You're not an anonymous Ish. You are the personal Ish, the personal touch. The vaday ain't a yotzik she'ain a mekabel yodea miyam mishaleach. The ain shiguach because they're derachiba v'reis. Such a shiguach is not derachiba to hide behind an anonymous name. Anonymous. The ain a mekarev levavos. Okay, saying it creates in general feeling good, but if anything, I could also feel very strange about, you know, who is it, and get very nervous. Who knows if he even achieves that? So it doesn't create reyus. The kemish. So therefore, if we, and since we usually assume like the Ramah that yotzik she'ain a mekablo. That means that the Ika reason seems to be based on that Ramah, that the reason of the Manas HaLevi. So then it should come out the other direction, and that in an anonymous Mishloach Manos, that you should not be Yotzei, because that's the reason of the Manas HaLevi. Okay. Another example, let's say, it gets, okay, the Mishloach Manos gets lost along the way. It's uninsured, right? And never reached the destination. Not helping us through this Purim. Right? That's a great goodwill. So that you have to know. So what do you think, you know? So this is a sefer Birurei Chaim, okay? Page 10 and 11. You can see all these cases. So he brings that, what if it didn't get, but the goodwill could be created conceivably if he knows that he, you know, that he, the person actually sent it. Really? You really sent me that? And that, but you could argue, but that's what I'm saying. Is it really such an afkamina? I mean, he didn't. The goodwill has to come from the actual receiving it. So I'm saying it's easy to be and quick and say, oh, goodwill, yeah, goodwill. It's, if you want to rush to make an afkamina, you'll have an afkamina. But I don't hear it either. I agree with you.
You're eating at the same sukkah that your friend you're giving to.
Okay. So that goes back to the Bach that we saw, the Chiddush of the Bach, that gufas are like Mishloach Manos. So, but according to Trumas HaDeshen, he's saying the same thing. You know, he had, that's a Suda, too. It shouldn't be enough to be it either way. Yeah. A couple of other interesting issues. Suppose the food is something that I'm not allowed to eat, and he is allowed to eat. Let's say, for example, he's a chole, sheish bo sakanach veis, and he can eat non-kosher, or the ain bo sakanach, but some issue, he said Rabbanan, he's allowed to eat. We saw discussions saying, Shulok Kederach, he said Rabbanan. But for me, it's not really appropriate. I can't eat it. So do you follow? So to the extent that it's coming from me, and it's to be my Suda, it has to be something that's shaykh for me to eat. On the other hand, if it's enabling him his Suda, so then it's good for him. And what about Reus and Ava Reus? Okay, so, I mean, does he feel like $1 million? You sent him something that only he's eating, that's a little bit non-kosher, but what if you, or another example, variation, you can look yourself all through the packet here. Suppose it turns out that it was treif, but he didn't know it till afterwards, you know. Nimsa treifa, you know, a case like that.
After the recipient eats it, he's going to be even more mad.
they bring these cases in Echran, but it gets a little bit of a stretch. Yeah, what a question. Tzvi, or Yitzchak, yeah.
Is it that you have to get part of your Suda, or is it that the person has to have a Suda? Like, are you giving him a Suda?
The Rambam says that you're giving from your, it seems like it's, you're giving from your Suda.
So you get the same food that you're eating?
Sounds like it. I mean, yeah, look, your Suda could have a lot of things on it, so, you know, it doesn't have to be the main course. But, I mean, it would be something that would be dessert. It could also be, you put your jelly beans on this, on the table for dessert.
If you don't eat in your Suda, can you give it?
Look, halacha, we're not talking. Halacha, of course. Halacha, pretty much we assume that as long as it qualifies as manos, which we assume means food, that's the presumption. So food, drink also counts. You
that's
can send your hamitash and a package of whatever, chocolate bar, zel. It's fine.
So why can you don't give non-kosher food if you can eat it?
So, so according to that standard. But if it's halacha from Yesuda, maybe not. And if it may be avavareus, maybe it's not such avavareus. If he knows you're sending him something and you can't eat, so he doesn't feel so good about it, possibly. The issue of the what turns out to be non-kosher, here you see on page 11 on the top, the Birka Yosef, the Chida, brings that someone is mistapic about this, and he connects it to the Indian of Gimel Shanim Chazaka. Achla Arla, Achla Shvius, Achla Kilayim, Nene Ba'Avera. Can you have Gimel Cheskes Gimel Shanim? You won't ask your Cheskes Gimel Shanim. You have cheskes kimushan and bayachilas isse. So if you're nene, but it turns out to be aser, but is that enough? And if your Michael isser is not called a chazaka, then it wouldn't be considered mishloach manasa. So he wants to say, but then he wants to say to depend on this issue. Tumas adeshin, it's worth to have a sudas purim, so you can't be yotze because it's aser. Really, it's aser. I was bishogeg, but still, you can't say you mekayim sudas purim with something which is aser. However, if Umaisa created Avavireus and it was an honest mistake, it turned out that it was, we had 1 year, I mean, it wasn't exactly this example, but we made butternut squash soup, but it was Fleishiks, and we made a note that it was Fleishiks, and somebody didn't know. There was definitely Fleishiks in it, chicken, whatever it was, and someone didn't know. One person didn't know, and it was, whatever, he had milchiks afterwards or something. I don't know if he had it together, but at the end of the world, but it was, you know, he didn't feel good, but he didn't know. Okay. So you always have to try to inform people. Milchiks, leishiks, chav yisrael, if they need to know about that, or chadash, and whatever it is. Yeah. Yes, Yeshua.
What if the food in the mishloach manos is kosher, but it tastes terrible?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not going to use it for the Suda, and they probably don't like you for giving it for the disaster.
Look, these are important. What we can't lose in all of this is Minad Mechaveira. I mean, that's exactly the point. To the extent, and this is anyone agrees at the end of the day, that's ultimately what you have to try to be sensitive to. There's even a tzad to say, the Bihalacha quotes this here, that the more chashiv the recipient, and it could be it's based on the Gemara also, the Gemara, that a few lines of Gemara, the more chashiv the recipient, the more chashiv should be the mishloach manos. Because even though technically anything is, you know, good, but no, maybe the point is it has to reflect the status of the person you're sending it to. So there's also that point. So the person, there's probably humorous stories about this kind of thing, you sent me this mishloach manos, and then who knows what kind of feuds can result from that. So you have to be sensitive. You have to be human. You have to know what people say. You know, this person can I have wheat? And you send them a big challah. What are you doing? You have to know if the person is a health. It's health food, and you send them junk food. You have to be sensitive. You can't just send. No, and it's true. You see, year after year, you see people don't always. They just have this whatever it is, this package thing, and they don't think who's going to get it. You should be a little more careful, who you're going, who you're giving to. The person dafka, and in a good way too, the person dafka likes a certain thing, so you be cute about it, so you send that. So he knows that that's all part of the inyan of creating avavareus, no question about it. You don't have to go crazy, but a little bit of thought is only, even though you had a little to drink, but you still should have something to think. It's a clear enough mind to be able to put that, the cheshbon into account. Yeah,
sweet. By tzedakah that two aniyim, like similar to the Ram, kind of that if there's two aniyim, and so they're supposed to, like, you're still supposed to give tzedakah even though you're an ani. So one ani can give the ani, and the other ani can give the money right back, and we're both being yotze. They're like chiyuv and tzedakah.
You're talking like
to do that with mishloach manos. Also, if you give the food, you can give it right back. Or would that also be like
as long as it's a kenyan made? So according to Tumas Hadeshin, you have machlevis with the sayla dadi. They switch the sudas, so you know it's that you see it, that you can swap sudas, so you can swap mishloach manas.
But even if it's the same one I just gave him, right?
Ah, the same thing.
Right. You and he's giving it right back to you. Maybe he wouldn't appreciate
okay.
it. Okay.
If it's yeah, I remember. Look, I remember. I have wonderful memories of the years. You know, as a kid, I used to go every year to Rav Moshe Feinstein's house to give mishloach manas. As one of my kids, it's in my blood. I remember year after year, we used to go to see the Rebbe, and we'd open the door, and then she would give back. Very often, something from what I had, she would go back into what she sent back. Not usually, it was a big wine, and chves was maybe pineapple, whatever it was. But it could be at least more than one occasion, at least, you know. But it was fine, you know. It's not. We struck, you know. She had it in the kitchen, things prepared, and she put back, and other people too. It is done, and not the whole thing, but it's not the same. Your case is
switch the car.
That's not. But people mix and match all the time. They have, you know, in the kitchen all things. So then they could take something that was in what you sent them, because it's generic very often. Also, it's food or whatever. But okay, one or two other small points. Then we will just talk about some other inyanim just for the time that we have left. I mean, there's also the halacha someone brought up the other day. It's brought that a woman is chayv mishloach manas too, but there's discussion about this, that really if the husband is sending, they're really together, so she doesn't have to send separate. But then there's a question that Rambam brings down, that a woman should not send to a man, and vice versa. And the question is, like, so what does this reflect as far as the reasons given? So if the reason is the Trumas Hadeshin's reason, I can understand why cross-gender, in other words, man to a woman, woman to a man, should be also to accomplish that they should have the Sudas Purim. So there's a chiddush in saying that whatever the reason is given, whether it be a chashash kedushin or tznius, whatever it is, but even though if it's daka wise, it wouldn't be a problem. But here, dafka should be a woman should send to a woman. But if the reason is avavareus, maybe it should be misvara already that the avavareus shouldn't be from one husband to another person's wife. I mean, that's pretty obvious. To create avareus, you don't want to create avareus in a situation like that. So it would seem obvious. So the fact that they bring technical reasons would perhaps be a raya that the ish that we're going through the reason of Trumas Hadeshin, another cheshbon to keep in mind. And then there's another interesting point that just we'll end with this is the Binyan Tzion has a chidush that here on page 5. Who's the Binyan Tzion? You know, the Aruch Haner. It's Shuvah. It's called Binyan Tzion. So he has this chidush that mishloach manos might mean that you should dafka send it through a shliach. But then he's mefalpel based on this. Which reason does it go better with? The reason of the Trumas Hadeshin or the other reason? The Mishnah Berurah actually mentions this on the third page, number 3. Is it Sivkatan Yud Ches? L'shloach. Yeah. But Shuvas bin Yitzir Nestapik. Im Hevi Ba'atzmo Hamonos. Voy Deshlech Iyotze. Kim Der Sivu Mishloach. Nema Debina Davka Deshlichus. Ein Sham. He doesn't tell you what he thinks at the end, but he brings a discussion about that. So then you have to work that out also in terms of these inyanim. And to the extent that there isn't inyan of going through a shliach, so then should you, does it have to be a bar shlichus? If you send a kid, so we normally assume that for sure, a kid's to the contrary, it's part of chinuch. I did all the time when I was under bar mitzvah. You send the kids to send mishloach manas. On the same page, here you have the biyar halacha that I mentioned earlier, that he mentions from the Chayi Adam, im shaleach lo asher davar pachus eni yotzi bazeh mishloach manas. Someone is very wealthy and you send him a very small token thing, he thinks that you're not be yotze. Shar poskim lo niskiru davar zeh. But then you can imagine it can be very difficult because you raise the bar to have to send. So it means you send something somewhat chashu. You don't send a chocolate bar, you send a box of chocolate. You know, that's the idea. Not, you have to send on the level of somebody who's very wealthy, but you don't send. Yeah, but I think that we would understand on our own anyway. Okay, so this is a little bit of a flavor of this inyan. There's discussions about sending to a katan and a katan sending and issues like that. Other interesting tshuvas along the way, you'll see the Mikrei Kodesh, you'll see Pesach Frank, some interesting inyanim. The Rav Avadia Yosef on page number 8 has this case that someone alluded to before if clearly there is an hostility between people, and obviously there it's not simple to send to someone there. If the person mamish doesn't like you, so you have to be careful, obviously, not to send. Okay, we have a little bit of time. I just want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I always like on Tainus Esther to speak just a little bit about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Just, we spoke already last week at the Sichas Musar, so I don't want to really add much to that. But just because he was such a gadol, that's really, that impacts on us to this day. You didn't really have the schus to know him or to see him. So, and most I can say is that I saw him. I can't say that I knew him in any way, but I knew people who knew him. And I saw him. I saw him interact with people, and I saw him on a regular basis growing up. So that obviously, I hope, had some impact in one way or another. So I happen to have notes from, I was maybe your age, the first yard set that they had in the Siva, in the yeshiva, in Tiferes Yerushalayim. It happened to be the night of Yud Aleph Adar. What is today? Yud Aleph Adar. So 24 years ago today, it's the night of Yud Aleph Adar. And I scribbled notes in a little pad for all the speakers. So the first speaker was the son of David Shlita, of David Feinstein. So first he had some bar halacha, but then I'll just share with you for a couple of minutes what he said after that. And it's appropriate, I think, for this year too, the way the calendar works out. So he mentioned the Rav Moshe was born, as you know, on what day? On Zayin Adar. That was why his father named him Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu. He was born on Zayin Adar. And he was Nifter on Tainus Esther. That year, it was Parsha Zachor, it was Vayikra. It was also a year, Shana Mubaris, like this year, but it was Parshas Vayikra, was Parshas Zachar, and then I believe Monday was Tainus Esther. Monday was Tainus Esther, so in other words, Yud Gimel was Monday, and Shabbos was Yud Beis. Anyway, so he was Nifter Sunday night, and then Monday was Luvai in America, and then Tuesday was Purim, and then because there was some delay with the airplane, something, some whatever it was, some story, they ended up having the Luvai in Eretz Yisrael on Shushan Purim, which was for them was Purim, which would mean that was on Wednesday, right? And the week after was Parshas Tzav, so it was also. With Pasha Tzav, after Pasha Zach, this year Pasha Tzav is Pasha Zach. Anyway, so the Pasha of Tzav begins with the menorah, and it mentions the lighting of the menorah. We know there was a Ner Maravi that was considered to be the candle that stood out for everything else. Chazal say that Yochid Ben Zakeh was referred to as Ner Yisrael. So the Ner Emsai was, according to some, that was the Ner Maravi, and all the candles, the other ones, the other six, were pointing toward that. And that was pointing toward the Shechina. That's why it's called the Ner Maravi. The different ways, different shittas, how the menorah looked. Depending on what position the menorah was, that would affect which is considered Ner Maravi. The way I'm giving it to you now, so the menorah was positioned from the Dorum. So imagine that you could say that, let's say, east is this way, west is that way. This is not real, but I'm just saying, imagine, right? And then what would be Tzafon would be this way. Okay, so it would be this way, and then you'd have Nimaravi would be pointing toward Mairav, which is Kosha Kadashin direction. Anyway, that's one way to set it up. And everything was pointing to that, now it's pointing toward the Shechina. And it says that you needed Shemen Zay Zach. So he explained that the idea of Zach is that if there was anything that was kind of sediment, the Torah would be mixed with a sense of Negiyas, personal Negiyas, Gashmias, then the Ner Maravi, especially, which is the epitome of all the candles, could not function in the leadership role that it was because of that little bit of Shelo Lishma. he said very often, David says this a lot also, we can't really relate to Rav Moshe's Gadlus as a goyin, as a posek. We're not on that level. But what we have to be able to relate to is his normalcy, his humanity, his midos. So he used to say that people who had this motto, it's Shver Tzuzayin Yid, so their children left Yiddishkeit. He writes about this in the Drushes also. They came from Europe and they had enough of it. So even if they kept it because they were used to keeping whatever they kept in Europe, but what they viscerally transmitted to the kids was, you're not going to have a good life this way. And therefore, the kids basically got the message subliminally, and a lot of them end up leaving Yiddishkeit. And so Moshe used to always say how important it is to feel that this is easy, it's geschmack, it's good, and everyone should have that feeling. Then he said as follows, just again, the idea of everyone looked toward the Nehemiah Ravi. All the candles looked at Nehemiah Ravi. All the different chugim of Yadus felt that they had an address in Rav Moshe. And this is true. It's true of Rav Shlomo Zalman as well, I would say. Not every gadol has that. There's certain gadolim that you might understand and respect. They're godless and you might gain from them, but you wouldn't necessarily say that they had a certain universal acceptance. Rav Moshe had that. Whether on one extreme, even if they didn't agree with the tzaken. Some of the tzaken were controversial in some circles. You know that Chav Yisrael, he got a lot of heat from a lot of his coolest. He didn't see it as a cooler. Moshe felt that this is halacha. But Chav Yisrael, in some communities, Hasidic communities, it's almost like Yehar Glal Yavor, like Satmar, Bavitch. Satmar, but nature more kanoim. So they used to really make a lot of trouble for him. My father tells me stories about someone would call on the phone and they would scream at him and he would answer, thank you for the musa, adank for the musa, thank you. He would just take it like that. But and other tshuvas that he had, artificial insemination tshuvas, but he worked out the sugyas and he came out with the maskana. And but really, but at the end of the day, everyone accepted him. It was even the Satmar Rebbe, who had disagreements, machitza was another major psak. He said it was 60 inches, 5 feet, so they can't easily climb over. That was his shita. Others were more meiko, Rav Yaakov maybe, and Rav thought that even a smaller size machitza. But the Satmar, they feel it's a stockless issue. And a lot of people hold that way technically, that the issue of machitza and shul, that's why you have issues with people who are very, very, coming very, very from communities that won't feel comfortable davening in shuls that probably you and I daven in, because machitza is not kosher. But Rav Moshe said a certain shita, and he went with it, and he proved it, and he had tshuvas, many tshuvas about it. But again, he got a lot of heat from it. But despite all of that, he was accepted by all, and certainly on all sides. People had a tremendous love for him, and they understood that he had what he said had a certain validity. So he brought in that. The image of the Nehemiah Ravi kept coming up here with what Rav David was saying. I just want to end with one other thing that he ended with. He was born in a regular year on Parshas Tetzaveh Zayin Adar. In Parshas Tetzaveh, you have the Tzivui of the Miguyim, that Aaron and Banav are to get initiated for 7 days, and this is what they should do for these 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu got them all ready, and then he offered the Karbanos, and this is described in Parshas Tetzaveh. Now, what is Parshas Tzav? He was Nifter the week of Parshas Tzav, as I mentioned before, right? It was a Sunday night, and the week after was Parshas Tzav, like it is this year, and it was Eshan Muberes. So, in Parshas Tzav, you have the fulfillment of the Miguyim, that Aaron Ubanov describes how they actually conformed with everything that was taught to Moshe, as was described in Parshas Tzav, and Moshe carried it all out, and everybody did what they were commanded. So that's the idea here as well, that his entire life was devoted to chinuch in avodas Hashem, and when he was nifter, it was the completion of that task. Just as Parshas Tzav describes the completion of Ayas Aaron Uvanav, Eis Kod V'Mashat Tziva Hashem, so this was Ki'u Moshe for Moshe as well. He, after he left the world, it was the Ki'um of that mission of what you find by the Miluyim. It's hard to speak about the events now in the world. It's hard to talk about it, especially a terrible, terrible massacre. of a week ago on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, Itamar. It's just heart-wrenching. I mean, the tzara, the children. I mean, it's hard to parents and to three children and an infant. It's hard to talk about it. It's hard. The tzara is so great. It's very raw. And yet we try to find perspectives in some way. There's going to be now, in a few minutes, will be a chance to listen to Rabbi Blau. But I just want to share a little bit from my heart. In Yonah D'Yoma, Purim. So, first idea is that, just as we know with Purim, Benapuchu, it was Tzara seemed to be so bleak, the danger was so ominous, and there was a Benapuchu. Everything just became transformed for good. It was a matter of a couple of days. Esther did her part, and that was the shtadlus, but it was the hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really transformed everything. And it was in an instant, terrifying. And it was one day, it couldn't be worse. It was facing annihilation. And within such a short time, that was the about face. Next thing you know, everything, the tables were shifting, the turning, Mordechai is being paraded around, and then Haman continues to fall, and it happened so quickly. And, you know, it occurred to me also in what's going on in the world in general right now, there are a lot of things happening very quickly. The revolutions in the Middle East and Egypt, and it's catching on in other places. I mean, there's a lot of things that are in flux, and no one really knows where it's heading. The best experts in the world don't really understand the political ramifications of this. But we all understand that the world is heading toward a particular destination. And that destination has to be ultimately Taken Olam Malchus Shakai. That is, that ultimately there's going to be this revelation of Mashiach and a Biur Hara, Timcha Zecher Amalek, Emcha Zecher Amalek. When that will be, how it will be, that's not for us. We don't have the access to the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But part of Emunah is to know that the world is being run by a Borei Olam. And there are a lot of things in the world that we don't understand, and we have to be able to feel the pain of Achenu B'nai Yisrael. But we also have to instill ourselves with hope at the same time. And the hope entails the belief that things can change keheref ayin. Everything could be seemingly a certain way, and it seems to be like there's no resolution to this conflict in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not going anywhere. It's just going to be more of the same, and the frustration and the fear is very easy to feel. But there has to be with that a feeling and an understanding that the napochu, just as we see all kinds of things going on in the whole region that are completely transformative in nature, and it has a certain ripple effect, and it's continuing to, and now with Japan as well as what's going on with the fallout and the millions of people that have been affected. I mean, it's just like the events are big events. These are not just small little things. Everything that happens in the world is hashgacha pratis, but when you see something happening at such a level, on such a macro level, it makes us realize that We don't always decide. We don't always know. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And again, we have an emuna in Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have an emuna in Kal Yisrael, and we know that ultimately it's going to be l'tova. That's an important lesson to keep to instill within ourselves. And to go focus a little bit more again on the specifics of the tragedy that happened in Eretz Yisrael, as part of the larger perspective of sorrows in general for Kal Yisrael. It's important also to recognize, and it comes up in Purim too, we don't take law into our own hands. We don't say, therefore, we're going to start taking the kama because that's what should happen. We don't do that. It's not our way. But at the same time, the concept itself of nekama is not, might not be politically correct, but it's a genuine concept in Yadus. The concept of nekama is embedded in the Megillah. Part of the message of the Megillah was that part of the destruction of evil was the fact that we had the one day, not just that we were saved, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the sense of justice that all those who were in Vakesh Ra'asenu, they were killed. And that's why the idea of Parshas Zachar, Timcha Zecher Amalek, there's a mitzvah to be no ter lo eva. We're loving people, we're peace-loving people. But at the same time, there are things that we ought to hate and we should hate, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we channel that instinct for nekama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should avenge the nikmas dam avadecha. It's not just, I'm not sugarcoating anything. It's a genuine instinct, and it should be felt. And we have to know how to channel the instinct. And to go do something totally rash and create, you know, its own dynamic in the world and create, you know, all kinds of risks for Klal Yisrael, for Jews everywhere, is not the way to go. Even if the instinct is correct, you have to know where to go with it. But clearly, the notion of nekama is a notion that is a correct one. I just want to read for you from a drasha of a Talmud HaRashba. I have it here somewhere. Talmud HaRashba, Rav Yaakov Misakli, in Parshas Kisavo. So right after the Parsha of Amalek, you have the Parsha of Bikurim, the Parsha of Kisavo. So he talks about the connection between them. I can't find it, but I'll stick it out anyway. Wow, I don't know where it is. Okay. Okay, let's see this. Well, commotion. I'm just in the middle here. Commotion. Nifra lano mitzareinu harishonim kachasid liparo lano mitzareinu haachronim. Bezeus the samach mechias amolek l'parshas bikurin. Right after the kisayt, he comes bikurin. And when it will be fulfilled, V'haya baniach Hashem al-kecha mikol ivach misaviv, b'mos ha-mashiach, timcha zecher ha-molek, b'yia l'cha mimenu din v'cheshben, k'mo sh'ay l'cha m'ayivach ha-rishonim. V'kol ze lama, why is it that we're entitled to this din v'cheshben against all the umos ha-olam that oppressed us? V'pnei sh'atem reishis t'vuasav shal Hashem, because we are the bikurim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem reishis t'vuasav. In Yirmiyahu. Just like a person is not allowed to eat bikurim if they're not a kohen, it has a special kiddusha. So the umas ha'olam are not allowed to be nena from mamonim shel Klal Yisrael and zar shel nena min ha'hegdesh v'bikurim chayiv misa v'shogeg keren v'chomesh chayiv misa v'shogeg keren v'chomesh kidin truma, truma and bikurim have the same halacha. So to umas ha'olam as well, ki heizidu aleinu. And if you think about it, the bracha that we say right after the Megillah says this very thought. The bracha of Haravas Rivenu that is said only when we read the Sibur. So this is Machokes Rishonim, where this bracha is a bracha Shalachareha on the Megillah. And the reason why it starts with the Baruch is because of the Hefsik of Kriyas and Megillah. Or if it's a special, a separate bracha. But we say it after the Megillah only with Sibur. It's a bracha of like Sha'as and Nisim type of bracha. But what is the stress of the bracha? Haravas Rivenu, Danes Dineinu, Nokimis Nekmasenu. All these words are expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu defending us, but not just defending us in the sense that he saved us, but Nokimis Nekmasenu means he avenged that which needs to be avenged. He righted the wrongs. Vanifra lanu mitzareinu. What does that mean? So the Abu Dram writes, Bala hosi v'lomar. What does it mean? Hanifra lanu mitzareinu? Shemara l'chol ha'olam. Shapuranus ba l'tzareinu b'shvil shemirein l'Yisrael. Hashem shows to the whole world that the suffering that gets ultimately measured out, meted out to the nations that oppressed us and to the rishayim that harmed us, all of this is due them because they were mirein l'Yisrael. And that's why it says lanu. Not just Hanifra mitzareinu, Hanifra lanu mitzareinu. V'ha'msham gemur cho'oivin afsheinu mida k'neged mida. And then how does the bracha end? Baruch atah Hashem, Hanifra l'amo Yisrael mikol tzareihem o'kel o'moshiach. What does he add that? Kiloma ki bepuranus tsareinu Moshiach olfen. Why does he add okela Moshiach? That's how we end the bracha. Through the puranus of tsareinu, Hashem saves us. Sometimes the nekama is separate and distinct from the Yeshua to the person that was affected. But liyisrael ba Yeshua ayidei nekama kimozos, like over here by Purim. Shayidei nekama mehaman mishpachto veozrav ba Yeshua liyisrael. So the Yeshua came as part and parcel of the same plan that brought about the nekama against Haman. And that's Hokel Moshiach, Chazko Shel Hashem, Hoshianu Mitzareinu, Unekamanu Mehem. So again, I just want to, it's a sentiment. We should let ourselves feel the Tzara, and we should be able to empathize and feel Mochani Tzara. And it's amazing when you hear about the amount of people that came to the Levaya, the sense of Mikamcha Yisrael. And I just heard that there was an individual that brought to the house, whatever it is, he's involved with groceries, brought food, and he says, I'm continuing to bring every single week until the youngest child is going to turn 18 years old. I'm going to bring every week food to that house. So we have to, the incredible coming together, the Achdus of Purim, it should come together from Simchas, not from Tzaras. We should understand that we are Amcha Yisrael, we are Amechad Ba'aretz, we are Goyachad Ba'aretz. Mishloach Manos, one of the main reasons we saw is to solidify that sense of Achdus. We should connect with that Achdus with each other, and ultimately the Achdus of Kal Yisrael is meant to parallel the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata Echad, Mikam Chayisar Goyachad Ba'aretz. The point of Timcha Zecher HaMolek is Hashem being one, Shmo Shalem Kiso Shalem, and that comes together with our being one. We should be able to feel that sense of Achdus, we should be able to experience Purim in a way that can bring out only wonderful Yeshuas for Nechamos and Nechamos as well, for Kal Yisrael, and we should be able to maximize Purim to the utmost, because it's not a simple day. It's a day of Panimius. It's a day of Panimius, even though on the surface there's a lot of things that are silly, but Dafka, that's the underlying message of Purim. It's a day of Tefillah, it's a day of, and that's what Tanis Esther is trying to reflect as well, the connection to Purim, which be Zochet to Simchis, to Rafaychan Purim.